Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 102. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. We just keep adding more people to the lineup as to who the guests are. This week, for your arts and entertainment conversations, we're going to be talking to Denim about his music. That man has energy. He's a great singer-songwriter. Lots of fun stuff he has going on, including a tour that he is on right now, but had a chance to sit down with him earlier this week. Also had a chance to sit down with a couple of ladies from Sioux Falls Roller Derby. Roller Derby getting back in action here at Sioux Falls in a non-gender situation. We'll talk about that as well coming up, but right now, you know, it's Thursday, but you know what that means.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party.
All right, whatever it is you drink, whatever time of day it is, might depend on what you're drinking. Lift that glass up and let's toast. Our Weekend Eve toast goes out to sweatshirts. I kid you not. Because I love wearing a sweatshirt, this is getting to be my time of year. I know a lot of you love warm weather. I like warm weather, I just don't like hot weather. We had a lot of that hot weather this year. So start wearing your sweaters, and especially if you got a hoodie, man, those are kind of fun. But, you know, don't wear them like a gangster type thing, right? Okay. But and speaking of the weather as it turns, I know everybody's been loving the great weather, and I've loved the nice weather too. But ragweed has to die, okay? The eyes and the sneezing and so forth, I'm rather done with that. So here's the sweatshirts and sweatshirt weather. The Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. No matter what brewery in Sioux Falls is your favorite, Ale Hop Brewery Tours lets you and your friends choose any or all of the 8 local breweries. Oh, wait. They've added Glacial Lakes Distillery, so you can take in some high spirits, too. Now, the best part is, they're going to take care of the driving. They got a cool van, sits up to 6. So book your private tours online at alehopbrewerytours.com. Now, if you're already out and about on the weekend, hop on one of their public tours. And for more info about the public tours, call 605-777-2183. That is 605-777-2183. 2183. Don't forget, you're going to need all 10 numbers pretty soon. Take it from others that have been on it, and they say that it's a great experience, and they'd recommend the tour to anybody, beer lover or not. And now you can actually add Glacial Lakes Distillery or not. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews. All right, so we were up for sweatshirts. Now we have to figure out who wins this week's mention? So what was it in the past week that has made Dave laugh, giggle, guffaw, chortle, chuckle, slap his knee silly, even cry for happiness and so forth? Well, got to give it to the drive-thru at McDonald's. More so, not the drive-thru at McDonald's, but the situation that all those poor people are in. You know, this whole bit with, nobody having any help. So McDonald's drive-thru, the one that my wife and I go to occasionally on a very early morning, is down to one lane, and they're most of the time just using one window. you know, instead of paying and then going forward and getting the grub and so forth. And so they're a little bit busy at that one station then. That's taking care of, you know, taking the incoming people. And then those of you that are have your window down and either your debit card or your money ready to pay. And if they still have their window open and they're waiting on something to give you and you don't hear the full part of the conversation, but still you hear, but if they come through the drive-thru, I'm going to punch them out. So that was just way too much fun. So we give it to the one gal that might have been just a little upset that morning, but it made us both laugh. We looked at each other and went, so there you go. Honorable mention going out to this week's drive-through at Mickey D's. All right, coming up in a bit, we're going to be speaking with a couple of ladies from Sioux Falls Roller Derby. But up next, the very energetic man, but soft-spoken sometimes. But we'll talk about his energy. We'll talk about his music. We'll talk about everything denim on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
The Dave Holly Hour. Like eavesdropping on a great conversation between two very interesting people.
Welcome, everybody. Always a pleasure to have you along here on a weekend eve. Thursday gets us rolling into so many events, and boy, I tell you what, it sure is, no matter where you go in town, plenty going on. Today, we happen to be recording at our wine bar, which we've become quite accustomed to over the past few weeks, and it's their third anniversary, so congratulations to really? Ricardo and everybody. They are doing a bang-up job. They had a huge weekend last weekend with live music, great food, and lots of people packed in here. And they pretty well got that all week long this week as well.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm Dave Holly. This is the Dave Holly Hour. And my guest today is Denim. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Glad to hear that. You know, we've been friends, I think, on Facebook or Instagram or one of those for quite some time. You know, and I see your stuff. It's like, man, this dude's busy and so forth. I got to get him on the show sometime. And then Michael Sorensen from 6 Feet Over kept saying, Dave, either I or Matt here, one of the two of us has to get you in touch with Denim. Because he's just got so much going on. And he's so busy and he's so talented and so forth. We'll get you in touch. And then about a week later, I think we got some emails exchanged. And then I finally got to see you in action as you were collaborating with the Headlights Theater.
Yeah.
What a night that was.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, that's great stuff. Now, I've seen some people try to describe your music. How do you describe it?
I describe it as me, you know. I try to be as me as possible in all the music I make, you know. I feel like when you're an art, when you make any sort of art, that a lot of times you're just always testing your limits in different ways. So it's it's hard to like try to put yourself in just a little category, you know. But if I had to describe it anyway, I'd probably say it's like a pop R&B kind of thing.
Yeah, I've kind of seen that. But, you know, you got a little hip hop, you got a little rap in there and so forth.
You mix it up.
Yeah, you do quite well. So, you know, my description of your music, good.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
It doesn't matter what kind of music it is, as long as it's good. And but besides the music itself, quite the show you put on, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where did you get that energy?
I don't know. Just there.
You know, it's just one. Yeah. It's part of you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't anything you said to yourself, like, okay, gotta have a music show. I want to play my music, but yeah, you really got to put on a show. So I got to dance a lot, but that's just you coming out.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just from the, you know, playing in a band a lot. You know, I've always kind of been that guy, that front man kind of, you know.
Right.
Just always fit, you know. Oh, just feels right.
Yeah. So what got you started in music?
I come from a family of music. My mom's side, I have like three of them are music educators, actually. And so it's always kind of just been around, and it was either, like, my dad's side of the family is a lot more athletes. And so I was, like, kind of in sports and music all the time, mm-hmm. you know? And I kind of leaned more the music way one day, I guess. And I kind of flip-flopped, you know?
Well, you know, I always say that when it comes to the music versus the athletics, you know, I can't throw a shot put more than 5 feet anymore. I can't wrestle. Wasn't that good at football anyway. But I can still play a valve trombone.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, there are things you can do the older you get that you can learn in school and to be trained by. So you had music educators. So did you get like a formal type of music education, or was it just the fact that pretty easy to pick up when you're around all that?
Yeah, picking it up was pretty easy. I've had a lot of it naturally inside of me just from like the family's kind of side and just being around it a lot. So I think that kind of really helped out. But I did go to school in North Dakota State for music performance, mm-hmm. As well as criminal justice. <It's> like, you know, I was looking to meet some drummers, you know.
There are a lot of punchlines that we could throw your way for that.
No, right.
Yeah, so he just wanted to write the new theme for the new NCIS or the new CSI.
Yeah, I'll take it. but yeah, so then I started actually kind of working with a few guys. One guy was kind of like a new concert promoter. Started doing his first bookings and kind of like wanted some artists in the area to kind of be in the shows to kind of help promote it. And so I kind of started getting my first taste in the industry that way, you know. And from there, I just realized in Fargo that the music scene wasn't really like, hasn't really had like a direction, I guess, in a sense. And I had came down on a visit down here, and I went to a concert that was here, that was local. And it was like the district, and it was like sold out. And it's cool seeing artists that actually could like out here, you know, right. hustling and selling merchandise and CDs and, you know, and getting to know people and having like a fan base. And it kind of motivated me a lot. And I kind of just packed up and made the move and started in Sioux Falls.
I can't help. I have to throw in the musical pun then with Fargo. Was the music scene as flat as a landscape?
it's just a lot different. It's just mostly, if you want a gig up there, it's just, you know, bar band stuff, cover stuff,
right.
you know, mostly. And there's not much original music made, not only up there, but even just in the Midwest in general, you know. But up there is a little bit drier than it was in Sioux Falls.
So did you start off doing covers and then get to the original stuff?
So
or
actually,
were you already thinking ahead?
I kind of started doing originals.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came to Sioux Falls, and I was trying to play other venues than just like the ones that I would just join on other shows, other artists at, it was a really tough time getting booked for a little while. Because like it's tough for me to provide, you know, an establishment 3 hours of entertainment, you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
I just had only like 10 songs, you know? And and so, and a lot of them weren't really open to the style of music that we were making at the time. So I started doing covers to kind of get our feet in the door, kind of get our feet wet a little bit. And then after seeing us perform, then they were more open to seeing us, you know, letting us do our own thing. And then from there, then just started getting referrals and referrals and, you know, and then.
Excellent.
And yeah, now we're just playing a lot now, you know.
Yeah, that's great. And do you feel comfortable where you're at right now? Or are you thinking, got to get some bigger gigs? I mean, obviously people want to play sold out arenas and so forth, but what's the next step for you?
Yeah, so for me, I'm always pushing forward to something new, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the year before COVID, we played about 80 shows in about 14 states or so. So
wow.
we got a chance to see most of a little bit of country, but
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just right now, my biggest thing is, it's bridging my gap between Sioux Falls and LA right now. I've been traveling, playing, and the gigging aspect of it's pretty nice for us, and it's kind of established now where we can, like, you know, guarantee we'll be playing, you know. But In order for me to take it to the next step, to start doing just larger, hopping up, being part of larger tours, you know, being larger events, and, you know, getting in bigger writing sessions. I've just kind of been having to bridge that gap a little bit. So I've been kind of getting together with some friends and taking on trips and been in a couple of writing sessions out there and getting to know some people and kind of work my way in, you know.
One of my favorite questions to ask somebody that does singing and songwriting is, what came first, the music? Did you hear a riff? Or was it the lyrics that you were thinking of? How does your writing process go?
When I came first, just me learning music, period, it was always the music that came first. But nowadays, though, it's I guess it starts with the music first. Like, I got to start with, like simple drum loop, or start with like a little bass riff, or start with, you know, just something that makes that just makes you feel it, you know. And then from there, I usually build like a loop or so from there, kind of start off with it, then I'll get my chorus figured out, and then from there, I'll just, you know, everything else kind of falls in place, you know. Yeah.
How many songs do you have right now that are kind of in the hopper that you're working on, waiting to get that finishing touch for?
I actually have a whole new project right now that I've pretty much done. I've just had to wait because it's kind of like taking a life of its own without even being released yet, kind of. Just from a few, like playing out a few feelers to kind of see what, you know, what do you feel about this project? It's something kind of different than I normally do, you know? And then all, it's like somebody's like, oh, I got to show it to somebody. Don't release this yet, you know? I got to show somebody. And so got a couple little pots in the fire right now. Yeah. And so it's like I'm ready to release it because I think it's some cool new music that I've never really been able to express, you know, but I don't know. I mean, but it'll come soon. It'll come soon.
And where do you release your music then? Primarily going to Apple, to Spotify.
Yeah, it's on all platforms.
All platforms. Perfect.
But
yeah.
I prefer Spotify, you know, but that's where most of my listeners listen to my music on, but you can, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all, anything listening to music on, it should be on there.
Okay, fantastic. And the thing is, boy, what a difference the digital world has made for people such as yourself to be able to get music out there.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it used to be that somebody would put something either on a reel, or they might even get it pressed onto vinyl and take it around, book their rear ends off, going around to radio station after radio station, and maybe have like a 1 in 100 shot of getting it played. But you know, you've got it that it's now available. Not only that, but, you know, the technology to put it together for you to do it yourself as well. You know, I'm assuming that you do quite a bit of your own editing and producing, don't you?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And so I do some basic things, like when I demo my songs, or if like some basic production. And then after that, I kind of send it on to some guys that I know they trust to help kind of like build it up more. You know, mm-hmm. I try to spend my time working on songs of people that are been doing their job as much as I've been spending my time just songwriting,
right.
You know what I mean? And so that kind of helps out. But I do think, though, that with the digital age now, that people do underestimate the power of human-to-human interaction. And people don't realize, like, a lot of the reasons why I got started and how I even got to play the gigs I have is because I used to go out and hand out CDs on the street days after days after days after days, you know? I bought a CD duplicator, and I used to buy them, and I'd get like 1,000 CDs for $100, you know,
right.
And I'd print them off, and then every time we go play somewhere, I would just be playing, and afterwards, I'd sit outside the bars, and I'd just pass them out, and, you know, you get people that take them and throw them on the ground in front of you, you know, or ones that throw them away, they kind of, you know, but you guys pick them back up, clean them off.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and go on to the next one. It was a lot about your pitch, though, too, yeah. You know?
I took 100 CDs with me and handed out 125.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's basically what it was. And I used to do that in every city that I'd try to get gigs in, and or just if I'd just be there on vacation, or I just, you know. Yeah, and it ended up helping a lot more than just somebody just seeing another ad on their phone, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And what's been the most fun gig you've had to this point? Is there one that just sticks out that you can sit there at night trying to get to sleep, and maybe you're not feeling the greatest, and then you can think back to that moment and go, damn, that was good.
Yeah, I guess some are different fun for different reasons, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
Some is because of the venue, you know? Mm-hmm. Other ones because of the experience, like, you know, as an artist, and other ones because of the crowd, you know? So, like, for, I mean, it's kind of just different upon those, you know, but I think the funnest when it comes in terms of the crowd, I had one, actually it was one of Sioux Falls here, I was at the district, and we played this college show with this artist named B.O.B. He's like a big pop star, and he came in, and the energy in there was insane, yeah. You know, and we, it was probably, it was up there, but.
You do love getting the crowd involved.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. If I weren't 58, I'd have been jumping up and down when you were playing with headlights. But, oh, man, that chair was comfy. Can't do it after a hip replacement, a knee replacement, and so forth. It just doesn't work that way, buddy. You obviously, and the thing was, you know, because then I could look around and observe. And it's not just young people that are doing it. It is people my age that have better health, maybe, that are up and having a good time. And that just has to be so fulfilling in your heart when you see that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cool to see that. It's cool to see that people realize that people have certain types of music that they actually like, you know, and they prefer their own style. But at the end of the day, a good song is a good song no matter what genre,
right.
You know? And if you're making music, and I think the difference between the music that you make, it could be any genre, but as long as you're like really expressing how you feel, and really expressing a true emotion, like a true human experience within it, it's hard for anybody to deny it, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah.
You like to experiment, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 100%. What's been the most fun experiment that you've worked on and actually performed live then?
I think one of the funnest experiments is probably when we played a show out in this small town, and we were playing with a country band, and it was just like something that was kind of way out of our element, you know? And when we came out, we were getting ready, we were looking at the crowd, and we were like, ooh, it's gonna be a tough one tonight, because my band was like, my guys were sick. And so I had a conversation with a DJ and a drummer. And so it was just like it was kind of like a different kind of vibe, you know? And so we knew, so we were kind of debating how we're gonna come out. We're like, do we just kind of ease into it, or we just like hit him in the face hard and just like go from there? And so we're like, all right, we're just gonna come out with our hardest, heaviest hip hop song we have,
mm-hmm.
just to see the feel what the room does. And then if it goes negative, you know,
then you can always go to Stand By Your Man, like in Blues Brothers.
Yeah, right. Well, if it was negative, then we have to write into a country song afterwards. And so we came out for out the gate, and it was just like super hard and heavy, and like there's like a part in the song where we do like a chant back and forth with the crowd, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, oh, and I stick the mic out, and there's just nothing. Just nothing, just a bunch of hard stares, right? And at this point in time, just having fun with yourself, you know what I
yeah.
mean? So I was just like, it goes back again, like, oh, and then I found like the angriest looking person in the room, and I pointed towards him, and it just kind of like, you know, we finished it, and it was just like the room, it was just like you could hear a pin drop, you know? And it was cool though, because we had everybody's attention, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't
true.
Like, you know, we did. So then right after that, we followed up with this like country love song they all know, and they sang it, and then it was like this whole room just like, it was just something where, you know, they just didn't realize that, you know, like they could, you know, it just like it put in this whole confused mix of emotions. But then after that, then we started playing on more pop stuff, and we ended up winning them over at the end, you know. And like sometimes you, like if you're gonna experiment, you're gonna try something different, always just be yourself, you know.
Yeah. And then, you know, accept the results. And so was that, would you call that a learning moment on that one? Or was that more of a, gosh, wasn't that fun? They were just silent.
Yeah, it was kind of, oh, gosh, it was fun. Because, like, I'm not afraid to fail, you know, or afraid to, you know, kind of, like, be put in those situations. So it's just funny sometimes to see how people react to it, you know, like, as a whole and stuff. But it's cool when it works, you know. It's really cool when it works.
What are the musical inspirations for you?
I grew up on a lot of old neo R&B, like neo soul R&B, mm-hmm. and some, a lot of jazz, and so I kind of always just grew up. I think the jazz thing has allowed me to like understand a lot of different genres and able to still speak some of those languages when I hear those songs, you know, or when I'm singing them with the band. But then the neo soul R&B is like where my heart's at, you know.
Is that what you listen to then when you want to just sit down and chill?
Yeah, a lot of like Maxwell. I listen to some like Jodeci, some, you know, I don't know, some of them like mid-90s, you know, early 90s R&B kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a good blend between real musicians and technology at the time, you know, where it wasn't too much technology.
Yeah.
It was just, and it's still really, really good musicians. And so like the music was just, to me, like, you know, like one of the best eras for R&B music, you know.
What do you seek when you sit down and write a song?
I seek harnessing a moment in time, you know. I don't know how to, they kind of say like, they say like painting like colors like history, you know, I guess. Mm-hmm. And music kind of like paints time. And so I try to like capture a moment or a feeling at that and harness it and try to express it in its entirety when I make it, you know, kind of.
Who are some of the people you've played with and who would you like to play with?
Some people that I've played with that people might know. We've played with like Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Mm.
We've played with, like I said, B.O.B. We've played with, you know, I don't know, I'm just gonna name a bunch of, most of them are like mostly hip hop artists and stuff, you know, but like Twista, Waka Flocka, we've played with, man, I don't know.
But then who's on the, gosh, I really want to get out there and be on stage with this person or open for them and so forth.
I mean, I really, really, really would have loved to play with like Bruno Mars, Anderson .Paak, like that little project they're doing, the Silk Sonic, like that's really cool. I really loved Prince back in the day. I was a big Prince fan, but you know, we are getting our first chance to play First Ave though, so I'm excited about that. But
that's on the books.
Yeah, it's on the books actually on Thursday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Good for you. Wow. You. Congrats. That's excellent.
We leave. We're going on tour Wednesday, and the second show is at the small room, the 7th Street entry room.
Right.
On the first.
That's great. Congratulations. That's awesome, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, what is it that music brings to you? You know, you provide music for so many, and you're hoping that it, you know, there's some attachment to it and so forth. But like, you know, when you're sitting there listening to some soul and some R&B, what's it give you?
Life.
Ah.
You know, it's for some reason, no matter how you feel, there's always a song for it, you know?
Right.
And it's something that's to make sense. Just to make things make sense, whether they do or not, mm-hmm. like, you know, just like the combination between like a properly spoken message and the vibrations from some well put music that can just calm your soul, you know.
Yeah.
And it depends. It's weird though sometimes too, because it's like when you hear the music, like when I make a song, I make it until when I hear the song, like I'll never have any regrets about it, you know. I don't want to hear it and be like, oh, I wish that trumpet wasn't there, or like something, you know. I'm not gonna do that. That's gonna drive me crazy, you know. But then when you have it just right and you listen to music, it's like exactly the way that you expect it to be put out, right? So in a sense, when you listen to it, it's like you're not listening to music at all, and it brings you this, like, can bring your mind to the state of like meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty powerful.
That's very powerful, no doubt about that. Quickly, before we get to some of the last questions that I always ask people, before we do that, your current project that's coming out soon, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so this project, I got connected with this electronic producers out of Salt Lake City, and the ones out of South Carolina, but I actually been connected with them a while ago, and they were a group that used to be a pretty big electronic group that traveled around the world, and they wanted to come back again as a group, but they weren't getting their old front man back together. And I had been working with one of the producers, and we had made a couple songs, and he was like, hey, I think you're a great fit for this. Like, and I agreed, like their sound and my sound, it just, for some reason, just works really well together, right? And so we started making some music. So like a show, some of the management companies, and every song, like the songs we made, is like, wow, this is like this is like really, this is really good. This is like, it's just like sonically, it just makes so much sense, you know? And so it's kind of started like that. And then next thing you know, like I said, it's kind of been taking a life of its own because they've kind of like pitched it around to some companies and I've been, people have been contacting me about it. And so they ended up deciding that they're not going to come back after some, you know, some personal issues kind of happened throughout that timeline of like 10 months. And they were like, hey, you just keep the songs, you know? And so now I'm sitting on them and I have this project, I'm shooting videos for them. I have like all this stuff ready to go and I just can't release it yet. until I find out a couple more things. So I'm excited. It's something that's totally different than I've ever done, but I think it's one of the coolest sounds that I've ever been able to come up, like be a part of, you know?
So well, we look forward to hearing that. No doubt about that. Before we move on to those two final questions then, where can people, we've already talked about, you know, the platforms so we can get your music on and so forth, but to find out more about you, the website, I always want to make sure I get this right. It's Denham, DENHAM.
Yep.
And then it's a dash, right?
Yep.
Music.com?
Yep, denim-music.com.
Okay.
Or you can follow me on social media at denim. So I name it three times. It's like,
right. In fact, if you see them live, and if you do that, you might win a t-shirt.
Yeah, right? denim. We're going on tour Wednesday. You can catch us in Chicago, Minneapolis, Dubuque, Iowa, Kansas City, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, and Denver, Colorado, all in the next 10 days. So feel free to give us a follow, pop out. Should be a good run of shows. And
All right, that's great. All right, final two questions. And usually the first one gets answered with, I really don't have time for anything else. When you're not part of the entertainment scene, what do you like to be entertained by?
It's a full-time job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I'm not on stage, not making music, I'm still trying to focus on other ways
creating, writing.
You know, we do a lot of events as well, too, and just trying to find ways to grow constantly because there's people out there that are working just twice as hard as you are, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's important that if it's something that you love and you know that you don't really realize it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just kind of encompass everything in your life revolving around it, you know?
Well, with that being said, then, do you have any other hobbies?
Yeah, I like to play basketball. I love mm-hmm. to play basketball. I'm just really competitive, you know? So anything.
At everything?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I'm really competitive. Our family's like that. We get together. It's from morning until night. It's game after game after game after game. It's go time, you know? So I like anything that involves, like, sport, competition. I like the adventure. I like to meet people. I like to hear stories. I like to learn. And I like to create, you know.
Awesome. Denham, thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Best of luck on this current tour then.
Thank you.
And then down the road as well. And you're welcome back anytime.
Well, I appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation. 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Listen to the Dave Holly Hour each week to hear who gets honorable mention.
Welcome back, everybody. It is such a pleasure to bring you new and exciting things, although this group isn't new, But to the podcast, this is new. You know, throughout my days of radio and throughout this time of podcasting, I have done a lot of different things. I have actually broadcast naked in a tanning booth before. But this is the first time that I've been across the table from two lovely ladies wearing roller skates. We are here to talk about Sioux Falls Roller Derby with Fisterella.
Yes.
And Fresh Meat. Yep. How are you?
Jen.
Yeah. Okay. Just Jen right now?
Just Jen.
Just Jen. Okay.
Still working on that derby
name. Oh, okay. Yeah, got it. See, because that's a thing. You have to have a derby name, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to, but it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. I think that you know, once it somebody sees that you do have that derby name, and then they join, then it's kind of like, well, I have to have a derby name, don't I?
Yeah, everybody starts thinking about their fun name that they're going to have.
All right. Yeah. So, Fisterella, let's just start off with the fact, well, first of all, Shell Lee, you were on the program before.
I was.
In the big round table, although it was really more of a rectangular table outside, as we talked about comedy after we'd had a fun time doing some comedy outside at Jamie Tharney's place. And you were there because you're like a super comedy fan anyway. But you said, hey, I do this. I'm with roller derby. It's like, well, that'd be cool to have on. So here we are. Tell us how, first of all, let's talk about the organization first, okay?
Okay.
So Sioux Falls Roller Derby is blank. Fill in the blank for me.
So Sioux Falls Roller Derby is actually under Sioux Empire Pride Sports Association. Mm-hmm. That's our parent company. I have a little excerpt.
Or organization or whatever you'd like to call it, yeah.
Yeah, so we joined with them in July, which is super exciting. They were founded in 2020, established in January of 2021, just like us.
Mm-hmm.
And they started out with just like corn bags.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Cornhole. Cornhole. The bag game,
Then they added, then they added a baseball or softball. Then they added bowling. Then they acquired us. In July, they're looking forward to adding more sports, and what they are is just providing a safe space for the LGBTQ plus community.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You don't have to be nervous.
I
tell
really
people
fast.
This is a conversation. I'm not a hard-hitting interviewer.
I know.
Yeah, you've been the route before.
I didn't
poor
have
Jen
a few
now.
Drinks.
She walks in here and goes, I'm what? I'm on a podcast?
Pretty much.
Right. So that's a great thing to be organized then. Do you have matches at this point and so forth, or how is this set up right now?
Right now, and everywhere, roller derby is 90% practice. Mm-hmm. So you practice so that you can eventually play in a game. And that's basically what we're doing right now. We're just building and growing our team. We're going to have our first scrimmage, boot camp and scrimmage in December. So I'm really excited to get these guys with some other skaters from around the area and get a taste of what it's like to play in a sort of game. So,
in a sort of a game.
It's a for fun game. Nothing too serious.
All right. So, Jen, why did you join?
Actually, roller derby is something I had been thinking about for a really long time, probably since I moved to Sioux Falls like over 10 years ago. But it's something I just never pulled the trigger on it. And I just kind of thought, like, what better time than now? And I love it because it leaves me like feeling fierce and just like super empowered. So that's what I really enjoy about it.
And how has practice gone so far?
Practice for me is a little bit rough because I'm still learning. That's why I'm like fresh meat. But I've definitely, you know, I've made some progress still getting down those basics and stuff like that. And then hopefully pretty soon I get to like hit some people. So
yeah, Jen's come a long ways from when she first started, and she should give her more credit.
And the other thing is, you know, I should say, this is not on video. My podcast is audio only at this point, but it's too bad because they would miss seeing you in your helmets and all your gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to put it on so you could get the smell experience.
The smell experience. Derby smell is what you would have called it earlier.
Haven't washed my gear in a while.
So we're recording this out here at the Armory, which is where you practice. Mm-hmm. And so what will practice entail tonight?
So what practice usually entails is the coach and I, my husband, Hotshot, mm-hmm. We usually split up the rookies and vets and then the newer fresh meat people. So then we work on their skill levels separately. So tonight we are switching it up, actually. These guys didn't know it. He usually takes the new people and I take the vets and rookies. He's going to take them tonight. They're going to practice on hitting, wall work, things like that to help get them ready for the scrimmage. The newer people, we're just going to work on, you know, your basic skills of like stance, stride, keeping your balance, things like that. We have kind of a list of requirements that we go through called minimum skill requirements.
Okay.
So those are some things I'm going to be checking off tonight.
Oh, awesome.
To see where they're at.
Yeah. Well, before we started this, you had kind of said that your responsibility is, you know, that everybody's a little bird and you want to get the chicks out of the nest and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very cool. So
even though we're an all gender league,
yeah,
I still think of everybody that comes in as like
right.
my little baby birds. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to kick them out of the nest and get them ready.
What got you interested in this?
Oh, man. So in Watertown, where mm-hmm. I moved here from, they had a roller derby league and the timing was right. And I joined their league about 6 years ago. And then I transferred here to the women's league 5 years ago. And I love it. And when the pandemic happened, it really made a lot of leagues just couldn't do anything.
Right.
So that's when my husband and I decided, well, we need to do something different for Sioux Falls. We need mm-hmm. to do something that's all gender, all inclusive.
Right.
And that's what we did. That's what we decided to do in January. So we created Sioux Falls Roller Derby.
I love it. And it's obviously entertaining. Anybody that's ever seen roller derby.
Yeah.
Explain how you score in this thing. I go way, way back. You know, I'm 58 years old. I remember actually going to a roller derby in Sioux Falls here at the arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think I might have been 10 years old at that time.
Oh.
And, you know, and it was on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fun to watch. And you'd hear all these terms and so forth. All I know is it was a hell of a good time.
Yeah.
But I never knew, like, how did this team win?
Well, I don't know what the rules were back then.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
I'm sure they're different now. The gist is you have 5 players from each team on the track. 1 of them is a jammer and 4 of them are blockers. You can tell the jammer by the star they wear on their helmet.
Okay.
So it is a jammer's job to get through the pack, make their initial round, and then they have to pass those blockers to gain a point. So they would gain 4 points if they passed all 4 blockers.
Uh-huh.
And they have 2 minutes to do that, to score as many points as they can.
All right.
Now, there's a lot of other factors that go into it, but, you know, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, that's a basic part. That's great to
know. There's strategy, there's skill.
Yeah?
It's
with everything.
It's the best term is hockey versus race car while playing chess and getting bricks thrown at you. Yeah.
Wow.
Something like that.
It's quite an analogy. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great way to describe it. But now, how exhausting is it?
It depends on what position you play.
Okay.
Honestly,
if you're a jammer.
You're exhausted by the time that 2 minutes is up.
Like, all right.
You're probably not going to jam for at least 2 more jams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And a blocker then?
A blocker can probably last 2 or 3 jams.
Okay.
Not as exhausting for them.
So then how long does the whole game take place then? If you're...
There's 2 30-minute halves.
2 30-minute halves. But you're out there basically 2 minutes of a stretch. Now, you mentioned hockey because I remember when I went to college, in Minnesota and met a lot of people. You know, we loved playing hockey on a pond back home.
Yeah.
But had never really met people that played hockey seriously
right.
until I was in college. And I remember one kid saying, it's like sprinting for 45 seconds to a minute, depending upon how long the shift was and so forth. And as I was thinking of this tonight, coming here, it's like, I bet that's kind of a similar type answer, isn't it?
Yeah, especially if you're a jammer. You basically just have to go as fast as you can while trying to avoid hits or getting hit and knocked down. That's where you lose all your energy. And so that's what just exhausts you. So you have to be able to have that high burst of energy really quickly.
All right, so you were talking about the fact that there's five on the track at one time. How many can you have on a team, or is that unlimited?
Well, I mean, you can have as many members as you want on a team. Mm-hmm. You can only have 15 on your roster to play, though.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So there's three groups that are going to be going out
usually,
there.
Usually, and that's determined between both the teams before you guys play. You're like, okay, this is our roster. You send it to them so many days in advance based on your contract, et cetera. And then nobody else can play. Like, if you're that person's gone, they're gone.
Yeah, so it's
if they get injured, they're out. They're out. It's ruthless.
Jen, what's been the funnest part of learning this?
I think really just getting to meet like a different group of people and seeing people at like all different like skill levels. So, you know, we have like the beginners such as myself, your intermediates, and, you know, kind of our like group experts as well. And just
I'm an expert.
I don't know. I would consider you an expert compared to me. But yeah, and just the support like you get from everyone, you know, for me, it's really focusing on small wins. So, you know, having that support from the rest of the team is super awesome. So that's,
yeah we really want to be a family here, you know, family like atmosphere somewhere where obviously you can come and feel safe because, that's what we strive for. And that's part of our mission statement, but also where you can find friends or, maybe you don't fit in with everybody outside, and hopefully you fit in here because everybody does. We're just a bunch of awkward.
You know,
people.
I actually was part of it, part of the entertainment at halftime. Seven or eight years ago. No. Here at Sioux Falls.
Yeah. For the Roller Dolls.
Nice. Yeah. My the improv group that I was in.
Oh, I remember that.
Yep, I was part of that night. So, what can people expect now that you're starting up with this new situation? You know, how long? You mentioned it's December. You're going to be doing a scrimmage. You're training in the meantime. When are we going to get around to, you know, seeing other teams and, making it an event?
I'd love for us to be able to have a game, you know, during come springtime this next year. It's really about finding a venue, though, and something that's cost efficient for us. You know, the Sioux Empire PSA, they're a nonprofit organization.
Right.
We aren't a for-profit organization. All our money goes to them. So it's just about finding a venue that's going to be able to host us. So anybody out there, wink, wink.
Yeah, because you're practicing out here at the Armory.
We are.
At the fairgrounds.
And this place would technically work, but we just wouldn't be able to have people come watch us. So, like, we can hold our scrimmage here.
Right.
But it can't be open to the public. So that's kind of a bummer. You know, everybody wants to see us.
The old rock and a hard place thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. But obviously, the word's getting out.
It is.
And people are going to be understanding that you need things like that.
Yeah, and we're holding our first fundraiser this Saturday, October 23rd. It's a zombie crawl. So.
A zombie crawl.
Yes.
Not a zombie walk.
No, a zombie crawl. So drinks will be involved.
Oh, thank God. Jack Daniels, Diet Coke with a lime, please. Call it Jasper Newton.
So it'll be a crawl through downtown, starts at the Top Hat, it'll end at Club David. We'll have raffle prizes, we'll have a costume contest, so I hope people show up dressed as the best zombie they can be.
Excellent.
Not me, though. I'll just be a zombie hunter.
Zombie hunter, okay. At what point did you start off on, you know, rollerblades and then move over to roller skates?
Me, no.
Really?
Other people have. My husband, for example, started off on rollerblades and he switched to quads. I was a rat rink, you know, in the 90s, late 80s. In Watertown, there was roller skating rinks. So every time I've tried to rollerblade, I've been unsuccessful.
No kidding.
Quads are my thing, yeah.
Yeah, see, because I could not roller skate worth a damn, but I did all right on rollerblades.
It seems people have a better time transitioning from blades to quads than the other way around.
Right.
From my experience and what I've heard.
Yeah. And Jen, how about you? You being of a youthful age.
I'll take it. But okay. I don't know. For me, I really always kind of struggled like rollerblading, and to be honest, on quads, same as Fister, it's been just a lot like easier for me in that aspect. And I think like keeping balance and things like that. It's, really helped out. So I prefer the quads now for sure.
Quads are the best, I'm just saying.
All right. So we talked a little bit about the physicality part of it earlier in terms of, you know, going around the circle or the oval for a couple of minutes at a time. But what about the getting hit and hitting other people and falling down and everything?
That's the best part.
Oh, I love it.
I always joke that, you know, if I haven't been to practice for a while or haven't played a game, I miss hitting my friends. You know, and that's always a joke. Oh, I get to go to practice tonight and hit my friends. And it's just amazing because you hit your friends and then they get up and they say, that was a great hit, you know, that was a fucking fantastic hit. Do it again. And it's exciting.
Yeah. And so how many do you have involved in the organization at this time then?
I would say we have a good group of people that show up. You can see how many are showing up already. I would say we have 20 active people and 40 that's in our group. Some of them, some of them have shown interest, but maybe just can't do it at this time. But I would say for sure we have 20 active people, which is enough for a team.
Yeah. And obviously you could use some, you know, ancillary type things and so forth. So some of those, you know, when you talk about it being more than 20, are there some people that are just going to be involved so that they can, A, be involved, but also, B, maybe take over, you know, like publicity type things and so forth and help out with the zombie crawl?
I hope in the future that I can let go of the reins a bit. But being the first year we're being established, you know, Hotshot and I both kind of have a vision, right?
Right.
And so we're just trying to get things going for this first year. As far as the other people joining and not skating, yeah, absolutely. We need non-skating officials. We need referees. Mm. Those things make up our whole team as well. Some people show up and they skate and then they find out, okay, skating's not for me, but I still want to be involved, you know? Yeah. And so then they stay involved.
All right. And what are we expecting once we do get around to, you know, getting some games and so forth? What's going to be the atmosphere? Obviously, venue is going to be a big part of that as to where you end up. But what are you hoping that it becomes? And, you know, what other things will we see along besides just the game?
In reality, our vision has always been for our league to get big enough that we just play games against each other.
Really?
And so it'll just be a really fun atmosphere where it feels like your family's getting together to play like football on Thanksgiving, you know?
Right.
And that's our goal. Is to have that happen. Obviously, we want to play other teams too, but it's for the
audience. In the meantime,
you'll
take whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Can other people get involved in your zombie crawl?
Absolutely. Just go.
Okay, just go. All right.
Just go. $10 to participate.
And again, starting at the top hat and finishing up at Club David, correct?
Yep, October 23rd from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. So
I get off at 4. Well,
then you better come. Yeah,
see you there then.
All right. You know, this has been a little bit different than the typical type of podcast interview that I do, but I do know that this is going to be entertaining. Mm-hmm. And because I've seen it in the past and it's been entertaining and there's been other things associated with it. So I wish you the best, but then I also have a couple of questions I always ask.
Sure.
And you've already been through this old hat.
I might not remember, though. I had a few drinks that night.
trust me, I did, too. Whoa, I'm surprised I remembered I had any equipment with me. When you're not being part of a scene of entertainment, what do you like to take in as entertainment? I know your answer already because you're the super fan of comedy in Sioux Falls.
Roller derby is my life, but I love to support our community in Sioux Falls. So comedy, the drag shows, the burlesque shows. I just love supporting the Sioux Falls community. So that's what I like to do if it's not roller derby.
Yeah. And what about any other hobbies?
Are there any other hobbies besides
this takes up it, right?
Yeah. It takes over your life.
All right, Jen, what about you? What type do you things you like to go out and take in for entertainment?
Yeah, really a lot of the same things as Pfister. So I've been involved like with the comedy scene for a pretty long time. Loved going to shows there. Definitely the Drig and Burlesque as well. Other than that, like, I'm a big, like, live music fan as well, whether that's just, like, local people or, like, other shows that come to town.
Well, and you do a lot for the Sioux Empire Pitbull Rescue.
Yeah. So, yeah, other than that, I do work with the Sioux Empire Pit Rescue. So,
both
fostering and doing other volunteer stuff. In fact, my dog just got adopted on Saturday.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah, that was super exciting. But yeah, I think other than this, like, if it includes music or animals, like, I'm there. Mm-hmm. So
and the animal part kind of takes up the hobbies then, or do you have other hobbies too?
Just kind of mostly musically, like, mm-hmm. I love to sing and play guitar. I also play the flute and the ukulele.
Oh wow.
So
look at me learning things about her.
Do you karaoke?
I do karaoke sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your go-to?
Usually Everywhere by Michelle Branch.
Okay.
So,
good tune.
Yeah.
All righty.
Nice.
Well, Festerella and Justian, who is at this point fresh meat in the group, certainly appreciate your time and looking forward to watching a little bit of practice as I tear down my equipment.
Yeah.
And best of luck to the organization.
Thank you.
Certainly appreciate
you
taking time to be on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for
You're quite
taking the
welcome.
Time with
it's
us,
been my pleasure. Thank you. And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist. I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation, and that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, I'm not, my hand won't follow it.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
I'm speaking with my grandpa Dave, but I just call him Dave.
Thanks again, everybody. Certainly appreciate all the likes, all the shares, everything you do on social media. Thank you, by the way, to all of you that responded last week by using the new DaveHollyHour.com website and giving me a little voicemail to give away tickets to a show last weekend. Thank you for using that. Helps me know that it works properly, etc. And thanks for checking it out there. Remember, you can get every single episode on that. And you can search for your favorite performers, artists, and so forth. See what other episodes they might have been in. Also, thank you to this week's guests. Thank you, Denim. Thank you, the two ladies from Sioux Falls Roller Derby. But of course, as always, thank you for listening. Appreciate it. And by the way, as to what's coming up for us, me and the missus, we're going to be out tonight. It's going to be jazz at R Wine Bar and Grill, well, and Kitchen, I think, is what they actually call it. Thank you to Ricardo, the R behind our wine, who is so accommodating. This is their third anniversary week, and on Monday, they were kicking off the third anniversary week. They had a big dinner that was already sold out, and they had an event in the downstairs area where it's kind of our backup if we don't have an area. He made room for us upstairs to record the conversation with Denim. We got in early. We want to make sure we get out before his big rush and so forth, but still the man is just accommodating in that way. Local businesses take note of good customer service. It's some of the best right there. But anyway, we're going to be there tonight for jazz as it's bona fide. And speaking of that, Ken Hoyne's going to be on this program next week. Talking about playing the trombone. See, I can do it with my mouth. And then, Friday night, it's Spooncat that's at our wine bar. There's so much going on all weekend long. Best thing I can tell you, I've given you a couple ideas as to what we're going to. You just keep looking on Facebook and so forth. And, you know, there's so many things that you can take advantage of. Just make sure you get out, Make sure you go see some art. Make sure you listen to some local musicians. Enjoy the sculpture walk. Yeah, it's all available for you right here in the Sioux Empire. That's what we talk about week in and week out. Remember, my name is Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.